news, alternative facts. There's all these different buzzwords, but there is one thing that we can ascertain in just a little bit of thinking about it in a single day, is that there's a lot of varying ideas out there, and people will put in for it. They will look you straight in the eye and proclaim it as something that is true. And when many times, if you start to search it out and dig it out and take it to its full fruition, you find that it is in fact not true. Well, we live in a time where it can be very exhausting. If you ever want to try and figure out what's going on in the news, you got to work. You can't just check one source and think it's okay. Many times you'll have two different sources and they're telling you, you wonder, did they even see the same event? Because there are such different renditions of what's going on. And the reason I mention all that tonight is because there is a spirit of untruthfulness. Remember when Jesus was talking about, I believe it was the sixth chapter of John, where he was talking to the Israelites, the religious leaders of the day, and he told them, you're of your father, the devil. For he was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So we recognize tonight that there is a spirit of untruthfulness that is prevalent in this world. And it is set to attack each and every one of us in our minds on a daily basis. And so the Bible has some instruction, some wisdom for us in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, in the 23rd verse. It gives us instruction. It tells us to do something. It tells us to do something with truth. It says to buy the truth and to sell it not. Now, when we think about truth, it does have a cost. And I wonder tonight if you've ever considered what truth costs. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We recognize tonight that the salvation that has been gifted to every man, woman, and child in this world. Now, I know there are some in religious circles that would claim that there are only a certain amount of people that can be saved. They call it the elect. But Jesus Christ himself said, whosoever will. Right? So Jesus opened it up to anybody that was willing to partake, that was willing to meet the conditions that God had set forth and prescribed for salvation. And when we recognize the understanding of what happened and why Jesus was here, do you ever think about the fact that Jesus could have arrived on scene, did what he needed to do, said what he needed to say, been crucified and resurrected 3 days later? He could have done all that in about 4 days. But he was here 33 years, 30-some years, depending on which historian you look at, somewhere between 30 and 36 years. There was some time spent. And there was a work that he was performing. There's a lot of different things that we draw from it. But at the end of it, we recognize that what God was doing was endeavoring to pay the price for salvation. We recognize tonight that there is a truth that is in the Bible that is contrary to the thoughts and opinions of mankind. There is never a shortage of ideas. The ecclesiastical writer said of writing many books, there is no end. And then you think about it, you go to a bookstore and you can look and the shelves will be full. We could fill this entire room tonight and never touch, empty out even one library in one city. And we think about all the different libraries there are around the world, all the different books that have been written, lots of thoughts and lots of opinions, but there is still one truth that has stood the test of time, that has proven itself to work for mankind, to solve all the problems that they have and anything that you face. And I'll say it, I can boldly say this tonight, that it is the year 2021. We're closing in on the end of the year and getting into 2022, and it's been a couple thousand years since Jesus has been on the scene, and yet the truth still holds true today. All the things that we face, the pressures that we face, there are dilemmas that we come across that perplex our mind, and we wonder, well, what should I do in this situation? Understand that in God's word, there is a solution. There is an understanding. God created all of this. There is nothing new under the sun to God. He's not puzzled by any problem that you face. And he has a solution for it. The writer here in Proverbs understood that. And so he gave instruction. He said, buy the truth. So that means that there is something that has to be done. And I want to say this, that when it comes to our salvation, the price has been paid.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus' life was all about. That he gave his life willingly. He was a ransom for many. Anybody that would, whosoever that would come to him, Jesus had given his life that they might come and see and know and experience salvation, that they might have opportunity to be able to pursue after God himself. Well, when it comes to pursuing after God, we've got a lot to learn. And I'm going to say it like this tonight. Not a single one of us here tonight has exhausted who God is. We have not exhausted our understanding of who he is. You realize in when they're speaking of God himself in the book of Job, it says his understanding is unable to be researched, unable to find the end of it. But how many times do we sit back and think, we got a pretty good understanding? How many times are we tempted to look at maybe acquaintances that we have, people that don't have as much light, don't have as much understanding, and there's a temptation to kind of look at that and look at some of those that are around you and think, I'm in a pretty good Scripture says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So we have to come to a realization that when it comes to truth, one of the first things we have to understand, when it comes to truth, that you could spend each moment of every day pursuing after God, pursuing after his truth, and you still won't exhaust him and his knowledge. But it comes at a cost. Our salvation was paid by Christ, and then when it comes to our development and our understanding, he has said that he has sent the Spirit to guide us into all understanding, to teach us, that he would not speak of his own, but he would speak of the will of the Father, and he would guide and teach us as we pursue after God. And so we have to ask ourselves tonight, what are some of the costs for buying truth? Because it said buy the truth, right? To expend some capital to obtain something that you believe to be of value. I think about how sometimes we live in a society, in American society, we've got this idea whether you're actively pursuing it in some means or not, but the idea is that whatever you're doing, you're going to get it cheap and sell it for more, right? Isn't that the idea? That you buy low and sell high, whether you're stocks, bonds, mutual funds, collectibles, you got a car, you shell a little bit of dough for a car, you're going to drive for a little bit, maybe, and then hope that you can even sell it for more than what you bought it. I mean, that's a great day, isn't it? You got the luxury of driving it for a while, and now you get to offload it and make a little bit extra and look for something else. And there is a pervasive spirit that is operating and functioning today that is trying to challenge us to do that very thing with the wisdom of God.
Oh, Lord.
To purchase, to put forth, and pay the cost to get a hold of some truth, and after a period of time, let it go. Well, we got to think about sometimes those costs. I don't think we spend enough time meditating on this idea of what it costs for truth. And I think about one of the most basic costs that are associated is time. It takes time to know who God is. It takes time to read his word and understand a revelation of who he says he is and what is the heart of God. And is he just all love, or has he got some justice in there too? Is there some righteousness and understanding exactly who God is? You've got to put in the time to get to know who the Lord is. I'm reminded of what it was, my own personal experience. When I first got saved, I was Early in my adulthood, I didn't know anything about the things of the Lord, but I remember when I got saved, there was a hunger and there was a thirst. What is this that I've neglected my whole life? I need to get an understanding of what it is that I've just experienced. There have been, some things God did to inspire my faith before I ever came to a place of believing in Him. I remember distinctly struggling with a vile tongue and praying out to God in my car, saying, "Lord, if you'll deliver me from this, I'll think about getting saved." And the Lord saw the sincerity of my heart, and He delivered me from that spirit. After 7 months of trying on my own, I realized that there was a power that was greater than I. And when I reached out to God, I found Him to be true. Sometimes we want to just stop at that point, but we have to pursue and go a little bit further. And so it was many, many months later that the Lord paid me a visit and saved my soul. And it was after that that He gave me a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, to read His word and to just what is actually in here. And I remember sometimes being late to class because I'd been reading in my Bible and got carried away. And I remember I had a friend that would go get on the phone and call me. He's like, "Hey, where are you at?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Class started 5-10 minutes ago." I lost track of time. There is a great value in reading the Word of God. It is part of the cost of truth. It's not something that you can just Google it and get an understanding. There is something that is profound in the way that God has designed it, that when we spend time alone with the Lord, there is a blessing that is there that you can't get in a 0.05 second Google search. There's more than just reading the Word of God. Amen. They're studying it too. It's not just for the preacher. Amen. It's not just for the teachers of the Word. That's for everyone. If you remember, there were a group of people in the book of Acts that had a testimony. They were the Bereans. And what was their testimony? Somebody tell me tonight. What was the testimony of the Bereans?
They searched the scriptures.
Yes, they went to the synagogue. They listened to what Paul had to say daily. And then they went home and searched the scriptures to see if it was so. You realize the Lord calls for all of us to be fact checkers today? It seems to be another key word that people want to use, and fact check this and fact check that. And I always wonder, what are they using to check the facts? As a people of God, this is our fact checker. This is what it means to buy the truth. And so we can read the word, but there's also a studying that needs to happen. And that's where we spend the time to start to look into what is the word in the Greek or the Hebrew, or looking at some concordances, considering some historical context and what was going on in that time and that place, that the Lord would begin to open and illuminate it. How does it reference to other scriptures? And how do they tie together and lace together and create a beautiful tapestry? You don't get that by just perusing. You don't get that by just before you fall asleep, opening up and read one or two and go to sleep. Your purpose in your heart and in your mind, and you set aside time. And this is part of the cost. I think about there are other things associated with the cost. Sometimes it's your free time. And what do you think about? I'm a person that's naturally given to, I guess you would call it entrepreneurship. My wife and I kind of laugh about this because I'm forever inundated with business ideas and new apps, and I'm looking at things. I'm the kind of person that when you go out in public and you look at things, you're like, okay, I see how that's working. But you realize if you did this or tweak that, it would work better. Or you see a problem and you come up with an idea. Now here's a business idea to solve that problem. But you know, there's times where you have to just shut all that stuff off and forget who you are as a person and start to meditate upon the Word of God, because we can read it, we can study it, but there's also a time to just stop and think about it and consider it and get our mind and get our mind clear and our soul at peace. It means all the different problems that we face and all the different things that we got to solve and that to-do list that we have in our mind, that we lay it down. We set it aside. And with the cares of life, we don't care anymore, because I'm going to elevate time alone with God to just think on his word and think on what it might mean and how it might be applied to my life and my situation. Those are some of the costs associated with buying the truth. I think about some of the weightier costs. These are the times where we face, where the enemy is right there asking us, are you ready to sell? You know, when there's scripture that says to revile not when you're reviled.
Yes.
Okay. So what that looks like might be a little bit different for each and every one of us. But essentially, when we're out in public and we're dealing with people and people come at you crazy is the common term, right? People have something to say. They start talking to you crazy, talking down to you, belittling you, insulting your intelligence or ignoring your presence. There's a lot of different ways people can come and say things to you and revile you, whether it's with their eyes, their body language, or they actually say something. And it's at that moment that you got to decide, am I going to buy some more truth? Or am I going to sell it and tell them what I really think? You see, the cost of truth will cost you your pride. It will cost you your opinion. It will cost you the things that you deem and weigh and have a category of how important this is and how much of this can I tolerate, how much can I put up with before I'm just going to have to do something about this. Does it not in the word teach in many different places that God is our protector?
Yes.
How about when you're falsely accused? Anybody else in here like me don't like that one? There is a propensity when we're falsely accused to, well, since you brought it up, let's get to the facts.
Yeah.
And there might be a time where the Lord is saying, be still. And know that I am God. We know that's in the word. Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. There's some truth there. There's some things that we don't fully understand.
Mercy, Lord.
And when we get in the heat of the situation, when we get in the moment, really to help us bring it home tonight to understand what it is God's offering us an opportunity to double down and buy some more truth. Or we can compromise and sell it and go our own way. You know, sometimes, in a natural sense, we might think the cost is too high. I'm buying at the wrong time. I don't want to buy at the peak and then watch it dip and then I lose what I invested. I'm going to tell you tonight that when we invest in God, you're never going to lose.
That's true.
Whatever it costs, it is worth it. The price is always going to go up.
Yes.
There is a blessing. The scripture teaches the Lord, the blessings of the Lord maketh men rich and added with it no sorrow. That means there is no buyer's regret. You don't buy a stock hoping it'll go and just watch it tank and feel just sick to your stomach that you were so foolish and lost. It doesn't happen like that with the Lord. There is a secret blessing for those who will, those who are willing to buy the truth and sell it out, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I might think, regardless of what people around me might think, regardless of the counsel that they might give me. What does thus saith the Lord? What is the Spirit of the Lord witnessing to my soul? Where is the Lord leading me? Lord, guide me into more truth. Help me to be willing to pay that price. Think about our reputation. We all want to have a good reputation. You know, there's times where you're going to have to spend that to get a hold of some truth. There's a lot of different things. I think about selfish entitlements. That's a big umbrella. You know those things that you believe that you should have? You know, like when you go to the store, you believe that if I'm standing in line, nobody should cut in front of me. Don't we all have that one? There's just kind of a social norm that that's the expectation. You come in, you wait in line. And then when somebody violates that, there's all this stuff that happens. You ever stop to consider that maybe the Lord caused that to happen?
so that somebody could see what a true saint of God looks like and how they would respond.
Lord, help us.
You see, the truth isn't always cheap. And there is an admonition to us to hold the truth in righteousness.
Yeah.
You remember when Jesus was talking about the religious leaders of his time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said they held the truth in unrighteousness. And I would to God that we understand that there's a difference between buying the truth and holding it. And if you don't understand the difference, I'll just go to the nearest jewelry store. They'll let you hold it. But you're not taking it out of the store unless you pay some money for it. Anything that's of value, you can hold it. It can be in your hand. The person that's selling it, oh yeah, they'll put it in your hand, let you touch it, let you feel it, feel the weight of it, see the value of it. But if you want to be able to take it home, you want to be able to say it's yours, you're going to have to spend some capital. You see, the religious leaders of Jesus' time were willing to hold things. They had an intellectual understanding. You know, we usually run into it. You ever come across some of these atheists that know the Bible? Yes, they do. They have an intellectual understanding of the Word of God. But the problem is, these things are spiritually discerned, not carnally discerned. So they don't really have the truth, as we would say, to buy it. When we talk about buying the truth, it means that I am willing to sacrifice what I think is right. I am willing to sacrifice what I believe is the best course of action. I believe I'm willing to lay all my thoughts, all my opinions, my reputation, my pride, whatever it is. I'll be a fool for Jesus because I believe God's word is true regardless of what makes sense to my mind, to my eyes, regardless of what makes sense to society. This is what it means to buy it, to make a purchase, and to actually have it and own it because it is operating and functioning in my life day by day by day by day. Rather than somebody who just kind of holds it and takes a selfie and then wants to show everybody the picture. You see, that's what those atheists are doing.
Yeah.
I can intellectually read this, that, the other, and I can point to you this contradiction and that contradiction. They're just trying to hold on to something. They're just trying to fake it. There are people in religious groups. There are people right around us that have a hold of it. But they haven't bought anything. Lord, help us to mark that. To be mindful, to be careful of that. There is a spirit that is associated with that. I think we all know it. We've been associated. We know people that'll come around and they've got some idea. Well, let me tell you how, you know, these folks ain't quite right. And let's look at this here. And they want to give every little jot and tittle and split hairs and look at all these different things. But there's just something about it that doesn't sound like the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's time to step back and say, Lord, where are you at? It's time for you to ask the Lord to show you where you can purchase some understanding that you can rightly divide the word of truth, that we can rightly divide the spirits that are at work. We live in a day and a time where there is so much unrest spiritually. There are spirits that are running rampant in this world, and they're endeavoring to deceive us and cause us to not understand. And the enemy is always present to try and get us to sell. He was that way with Jesus. When we remember the fourth chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was being tempted, the enemy was right there. He said, hey, you ready to sell out? You know, one of the greatest needs that we have as human beings is we want to feel accepted.
Yeah.
We want to feel like we matter, and we want to feel like we're loved.
Yes.
Jesus was all alone in that wilderness for a lot of days. And the enemy was right there. You ready to sell? That truth that you bought, I think you paid too much. Let's just go ahead and sell it. If you fall down and worship me, I'll cause the whole world to adore you. Everywhere you go, they'll just fall at your feet. They'll want you to be in their company. The scripture says, as dear children, to walk in the footsteps that Christ has walked in.
Amen.
Jesus doubled down on the truth.
Yes, Lord.
God and his infinite wisdom and in his time sent his ministering angels to minister to Christ.
Yes.
it will be no different for us. I'm not saying that there won't be difficulty, because there's going to be, especially in the day and time in which we live. It seems like there's so many different ideas and philosophies. And let's just be honest, the ways of God, following God as a true saint of God, is not popular. And it comes at a cost. I think about that idea of, and there's so many different ways we could use this, but I just think of one particular truth that we as the saints of God still hold, teach, because it's biblical, about divorce and remarriage, and how the Lord does not condone a double marriage. It's till death do you part. You know, there are many church groups, many Christian groups that have left that truth behind. Why? Because they began to start sitting around and thinking about it and talking. And they said, well, you know, and they come up with these situations. Well, you know, God doesn't really require. You think he's going to require a mom with three kids to be single and to struggle and not to be able to pay the bills, and the kids are going to suffer, and she's really got to go out on her own? She should be able to find another Christian man that will come in and take care of her, take care of her children. That's what God wants. And folks can be extremely persuasive in their reasoning. You know, it's at that time that we recognize that there is a cost to truth. I know many of people that have been found in situations like that who have not sold the truth, but rather doubled down on the truth and said, Lord, I want to buy more. These are people that if you were to talk to them, they would tell you, I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to make it. But if you talk to them now, having been and cast their lot with the Lord, they'll tell you it was worth it. The whole time the Lord had met them, there were special blessings that they would have never got any other time, any other way. There was a special provision in God, so that we recognize the Lord is going to be with us regardless of what it is, regardless of what we might go through. That's just one of thousands of examples that could be brought up this evening of where the enemy would cause us to be weak and to want to sell the truth. But the encouragement tonight is to buy the truth and don't let go of it. It says to seek with it also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And what that means is that we realize that there are pastures. If we think of ourselves as sheep, the scripture says that we would go in and out and find pasture. I would to God that we would be inspired tonight to realize that there are some pastures out there that you've never seen. There are some pastures out there that you've never tasted of. And perhaps in God and his mercy has allowed you to see a saint pass through your life, and that sheep comes strutting in, and they're fat and flourishing, and their coat is shiny. It's almost as if there's a glow. And you look at them, you're like, what have you been eating? Your grass looks like it's a little bit, whatever you've been eating is causing things to affect you in such a way. I'm going to tell you tonight that when we buy the truth, when we go and find those special places of pasture with God, that there are blessings that come with it. They don't add any sorrow. There is no regret when we double down on truth. We say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to obtain the prize. I'm reminded this evening of a tip a friend taught me years ago. You ever drive out in northern Arizona, New Mexico, and those places, there's a lot of Native Americans in that area, and sometimes there'll be places on the side of the road where they're selling their jewelry and rugs and different things, bead work that they've done. And he taught me how to tell the difference between real Native American rugs and fake ones. It's real easy. Just try to poke your finger through it. If your finger goes through it, they didn't make it. One of the things he taught me was the difference between fake and real turquoise. Because I didn't realize there was a difference, but there is. And he said the easiest way to tell is just take a match, light it or a lighter, and hold it up to the whatever the jewelry is that they made, hold it right up to the turquoise. He says, if they freak out and stop you, you know it's fake. Because fake turquoise will not stand up to the flame. But real turquoise will not be affected by the flame. You know, we learn in 1 Corinthians, Paul said to take heed. He said, no other foundation can any man lay save Christ Jesus. That's the one that has already been laid. And then he encourages us to be careful how we build on that foundation, the things with which we use. And he said, you know, some of you use gold, some silver, some wood, hay, stubble. And he said, God would send fire to try every man's work to see what it is of. And, you know, if you're building with wood, hay, and stubble, it doesn't do so well in the fire. It would be completely burned up. How does that relate to what we're saying tonight? If we're out there buying counterfeit truth, if we're out there settling for things that were classified as truth, but it doesn't cost me very much because I can still maintain my opinions. I can still maintain my desires and the things that I want to do and the way that I think about it and the way that I feel. You know, there's too many feelings going on today.
Yeah.
The Lord cares about how we feel. He's a great high priest. He's acquainted with grief. He knows how we feel. And there's nothing wrong with having feelings, but we can't allow that to get in the way of truth. So it is when it comes to us making purchases. We have to recognize sometimes when we can't tell the difference, God in his mercy is going to send forth the fire. Don't be upset with the fire. It's the mercies of God that will reveal things that we can see it as it really is. And so it is in our own personal lives. Sometimes you want to take a stand for truth. You realize, well, I don't have to tell you this. We know this. When we take a stand for truth, sometimes it creates division in our relationships. Whether it's friend, whether it's family. You know, the enemy tries to use that to get us to sell. Oh, don't sell the whole thing. Just a little bit. Just this one time. I want to encourage you. The writer here of Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't let it go. Hang on to it. There is a great reward for the truth of God. The things of God work. It doesn't matter the time period in which we live. It doesn't matter the technological advances. It doesn't matter how much man thinks he knows and how much he's got it figured out. God made the entire world and everything that is in it, and there is nothing new to him. We can rest in this assurance. I want to also speak this evening about not getting slothful.
Lord help us.
You buy some true understanding in a spiritual sense, you can feel wealthy.
Yeah.
And I would to God, if you're a saint of God, you're a wealthy spiritual being in this world. There are a lot of bankrupt people.
Yes, Lord.
But the Lord doesn't want you to stop. He doesn't want you to say, all right, I'm a millionaire spiritually. I'm good. I'm just going to sit back and rest on this. The Lord wants us to continue to pursue. Why not a billionaire? Why not a trillionaire? Or whatever comes after that. We want to continue to pursue after God and to continue to abound and to grow and to prosper in the understanding and the truth and the wisdom of God. You realize this world stands in such great need today. It gets very convoluted, extremely complex. Some of the situations in life that you're going to be asked to deal with, to provide counsel, to provide wisdom, instruction, and understanding, and be a model for those that are in your sphere of influence. Remember, it's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that there are people that you influence. It's not an accident, and you're not just here to occupy time and do all the things that you enjoy, but God is using you and counting on you to pursue after him and his truth, that you might impart that truth to someone else and be a benefit. Oh, I think about how sometimes, in a natural sense, people like me that were born poor, if they ever get to a place where they get rich in this world, you know, sometimes they have different responses. Sometimes they get to a certain point and they feel like they've made it, and then they stop doing whatever they're doing and they just invite everybody over. Hey, look at what all I have. Oh, look at this. Oh, yeah, you got to see this house. It's got 19 rooms, and here's this one, and there's that one for that one. And oh, we got this trinket and that trinket, and all the different things, that they, whatever they value. You know, folks will do that sometimes spiritually. They'll get to a certain point and then they stop. They no longer pursue after the wisdom and the truth of God like they used to. Their hunger, their appetite, it's just gotten satisfied. And then they just stop. They just plateau. You know, sometimes it happens, people will give you testimonies, and sometimes they're 20, 30, 40-year-old testimonies. And that's fine from time to time, but there also needs to be some new ones. There needs to be a fresh anointing, some fresh interaction with the Lord. What is he doing recently in your life? I'm not disparaging that. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying that we also have to have a constant, ongoing testimony where the Lord is still blessing, the Lord is still teaching, the Lord is still instructing and opening up new understanding. I know I'm not the only person here tonight that has read scripture and got an understanding of what it was and thought, wow, that's amazing. God, that's awesome. And you go about your life, you live, you do things, and you read other scriptures and do that. And then, you know, a couple of times later, you come back to it, maybe months, maybe years later, and you read that very same scripture. You're like, oh, yeah, I know what that means. And all of a sudden, the Lord opens up a whole new thing that you never saw before. You're like, where is that? That's been there the whole time. How come I never saw that? God has that ability to open up scripture that you think you know, that you think you have a complete understanding, and he opens up a whole new dimension that you never considered, and you start to see how it can apply in your life.
Amen.
God is so inexhaustible.
Yeah.
So deep. I think about these Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't understand. They just wanted to, they wanted to hold the truth. They wanted to hold the law. They had an understanding, and they wanted to tell everybody and point at it. They get themselves all decked out fancy in their little costumes, I call it, and they just walk around, parade around, swishing and swaying, and look at me. I'm so godly. I'm so righteous and holy. And Lord, help us to never be like that.
Amen. Lord, help us.
You know, there's a temptation to be that way. It usually comes in the form of looking down upon sectarian Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They need the Lord as well.
Yes.
They need wisdom. They need truth. They need understanding.
Yes.
And we ought to hold it in righteousness rather than unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help. I want to get a scripture here in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And the 52nd verse, and this is speaking to the Lord giving us fresh anointing, fresh inspiration. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We have our old testimonies. We have our old Ebenezer stones of some of the things that we've all personally been through, and the Lord has met us there. We've paid a price, right? I think about like when my wife and I, when we were first pregnant and we lost the child. That was a hard thing. I still remember crying out to God, kneeling down at the foot of our little couch, and the Lord meeting me there. You know, there was a cost to getting that truth. You know, the word says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there's a cost associated with that truth. You have to go through something. You have to experience something to bring you to a place of mourning. And so many times people in the world want to take the easy way out. I don't want to feel this. And so they begin to fill their life with other things that numb what that feels like. This is what it means to buy or to sell. To buy is, Lord, I don't like this, and I'm going to call out to you. I'm going to cry out to you because I believe that you'll be with me. I believe that you'll meet me here, that you're going to give me something. You might not be able to reverse. Well, you can reverse, but you might not reverse it. And I'm okay with that because I trust in you. I believe in you. I'm willing to check my opinions and my thoughts and lay them on the altar and make a purchase. That you might write on my heart a divine truth that I can stand on, that I can go from this point forward and I can acknowledge God met me there. It gives me a testimony. It gives a certain
validity to the truth, to the Word of God, because I've been through it, I've experienced, and I've found it so. Oh, so many of these people in Jesus' time weren't willing to do that. I think about sometimes how people are no longer willing to buy. For whatever reason, I think, you know, in a natural sense, when people get old, closer to retirement, they're not aggressive in their retirement savings and investing. In fact, in the world, they tell you if you're doing retirement planning, that when you're young, be aggressive, get more aggressive investments so that it has a greater potential to grow. And if there's some setbacks, you're young, you'll still recover from it. But as you get older, they tell you to seek things that are a little bit more conservative. And I think about how I understand that wisdom. I get it. But in God's economy, He doesn't tell you to slow down when you get old. He doesn't tell you to slow down. You remember Caleb's testimony? I'm just as strong now as I was 40 years ago. I might be 80-something years old. I don't care. Give me the mountain. I want to go for it. There was a man that still believed in the truth and the wisdom and the abilities of God. And he was willing to, yeah, I don't care how old I am. I'm going to lay that aside. I don't care what my inadequacies are or what people tell me they are or what I tell myself it is. I'm going to lay it down. You realize this is where the work of God gets hindered? How many times has the Lord been knocking on someone's heart, hey, I want you to do something, and you immediately, I can't. I'm not whatever enough. Oh, that brother or that sister over there is way better suited for that. Let them do it. What would the Israelite nation be like if God accepted Moses' excuses? You ever thought about that? You see, this is part of buying truth. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter what you think your abilities or inabilities are. When the Lord calls, it's time to buy.
Amen, Lord.
It's time to buy truth. Lord, I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I don't think that's possible. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm the right person for the job. But, behold underlying truth. I will go where you go. I will do whatever you call me to do. You remember Ruth and Naomi?
Yeah.
Ruth received a blessing because she cast her lot with God's people. Mm-hmm. Common sense would tell her to go on back to her father's house, just like her mother-in-law said. Just go on back. Your dad will take care of you. There'll be something that'll happen, and things will work out for you. Intellectually, this is the best course of action. But God's Spirit presented a different truth. And she was willing to pay the price. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go also. Does God, can God still count on us as a people today to say, you're still my God? And wherever you want to send me, I'll go. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do, regardless of what I might think about it. Lord, I lay that on the altar. I'll pay the price. When things get tough, when things are hard, Lord, I'm not going to sell out. I'll endure hardness as a good soldier. I'll be willing to go with your people and to do what you're calling us to do. You know, Hebrews, the 5th chapter, talks about 12 through 14. It talks about us, the need for us to be growing in our understanding of God. And it's using the idea and the concept, we're familiar with it, of milk versus meat. Mm-hmm. Too many times we want to just milk, milk, milk. God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we just want to stay there in that place. But you know, there are greater truths that the Lord wants to give us that are going to equip us to be better saints of God, going to equip us to be better relatives, better friends, better companions, better just in all of our relationships and society as a whole. God is counting on us as a people to be sold out to Him that He might use us to affect change in the world around us. It's too easy to look at the world and just say,
forget it. They're all confused. They don't know what a male or a female is, or what's right or what's wrong. And this world just completely lost their mind, and I've given up on it. That's a real temptation. I've been there. We've all been there, especially when we look at everything that's going on today and just say, oh, this world is so dark and they just don't care about the things of God. That doesn't mean that we don't stop trying to do God's work by the truth. Be willing to go where the Lord calls. Be willing to do what the Lord is calling us to do, recognizing that it will cost. Sometimes it's your time. You ever woken up in the middle of the night and had a soul on your heart and been tired?
Yeah.
Knew you got to get up, go to work, or you had something to do in the morning and you're just flat out worn out, but you wake up and there's a soul on your heart. There's an opportunity to buy some truth. The Lord puts that soul on your heart for a reason. It's time to pray. You know, the scripture that says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That also might be at 1:30 in the morning or 3:46. Mm-hmm. Whensoever the Lord wakes you up and you got that burden, it's time to pray. The Lord, I want to sleep. I've got things I've got to do tomorrow. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. That's part of the cost. Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to believe that as the day, so shall be my strength. And that tells me that I need an X amount of sleep and I'm going to be tired this at the other. Lord, I'm willing to do it. There are so many different examples that we could bring up tonight, but at the end of it all, really what the understanding is that we're willing to buy the truth, that we start having our minds open to what's really going on. It's not just life. It's not just things that happen randomly. Our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of planning. Everything is specific and set in place. When you think about the technology that it takes to be able to land a rocket on the moon, okay, that's the equivalent of getting a small, if you had a small enough bullet from 200 yards away, that's quite a distance, right? There's two football fields. And shoot a fly in the eyeball only. That's the amount of precision it takes to land a rocket on the moon. The only reason we're able to do it is because everything out there goes according to plan.
Yeah.
We have a God of precision.
Yeah.
You think about that. We landed something on Mars. What kind of precision does it require to do that? And it's all because God holds it in place. So it is that we understand that as we're living our life, there is an order to our life. It's not just life happens or just a happenstance. There's a reason and there's a purpose in all of it. And Lord, help us to purchase the truth, to understand that there are things that are out there that are fake and the real stuff costs money. But it adds to it blessings with no sorrow. I trust the Lord encourage you this evening to think about what you have on hand. What more could you have? Where is the Lord calling you? Where is he? He's knocking on your heart's door. And I want to encourage you this evening. If you have, I'll say it this way. In a natural sense, when people are doing investments, a lot of times they'll deal in just one particular market they're familiar with. Okay, so for instance, say you want to do real estate. I've done some real estate. I've done it in Oregon. I've done it in Arizona because I know both of those markets. I've never done any down here. I don't know the market. There's other kinds of investments people can do. Some people deal with collectibles, buying those kind of cheap, selling them high, making a profit, and that's their business. I don't do that because I don't understand. I'm not familiar with that market. And it's human nature in a natural sense to only invest and do business and play around in markets you're familiar with.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Lord speaking to us and calling us to do his work, there's going to be times you're called out of your comfort zone. There are going to be some things that seemingly are out of your wheelhouse. beyond your ability, out of your personality, out of your character. And I want to encourage you, buy the truth and don't sell it. Trust what Jesus said. He said, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the ends of the earth." That is truth. And that's truth that we ought to buy when the opportunity comes and the Lord presents it. Here's a chance to buy. Buy it. Every chance you get. You know, in a natural sense, you know how you win at the game of Monopoly? You buy every piece of property you can. Every chance you get, buy it. Yep, I'll buy it. I don't care. Nope, I'll take it. I'll take it. Because if you're in possession of it, you can use it later to leverage to get yourself in the best possible position. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to prosper, if you want to be profitable in the kingdom of God, every chance he gives you an opportunity to buy truth, pay the price. Pay the price. May the Lord encourage and inspire each one this evening.